The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Mishpatim. Mishpatim is very well known for all of its dinim, all of its practical laws, between man and his fellow man. And Mishpatim begins, Bela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem. These are the Mishpatim which you shall place before them. Hashem told to Moshe, Ki Sikne Evet Ivri, that if you buy a Hebrew slave, Sheshonim Yavoid, he shall work for 6 years, Vashvi Sheitzel Achov Shechinom, and on the 7th year he shall go out free. In Begape Yofe, Begape Yetze, if he comes in alone, then he goes out alone. In Balisho Huvi Yotz Ishtimei, and if he has a wife, then his wife goes out with him. And then the Torah goes a little further. What happens if he says he doesn't want to go out? Le'etze Chofshi, he wants to remain with his master. Gisha Adonai ve'alehim v'gisha la'deles ha'lamezuzo rotza Adonai ve'oznei v'matzea v'avode le'ilam. Then the master takes him to the Bezdin, and they bore a hole in his ear, and he shall work forever. That the Gemara explains till the Yovel, to the 50th year. So,
firstly, we have a parsha here of dealing with an Ivri and a Nirzo, someone who wants to remain beyond the prescribed 6 years. Then the next parsha tells us, V'chiim kod ishes bita la'oma, that if a man sells his daughter as a maidservant, she has different laws. Then it tells us a mitzvah. It tells us that the master can marry her, or he can marry her off to his son. So that's the second parsha that deals with an Om Ivriya, a maidservant. In Parshas Behar, which is in Vayikra, we have and in Vayikra Chofei Posuk Memzayin. Vayikra Chofei Posuk Memzayin. There the Torah tells us, V'chisasig yad ger v'seishov imoch. No, excuse me. In posuk lametes, v'chiyomuch ochicha imoch, if your brother becomes very poor, v'nim karaloch, and he sells himself to you, le'savid be'avedis ovid, you shall not, even though you acquire him, you buy him, you shall not work with him as an eved, as a slave. You have to treat him differently. So that's another section in the Torah which deals with slaves. Further, on Posik Mem Zayin, it states, V'chisazik yad ger v'seishov imoch u'moch yuchich imoch v'nimke leger teishov imoch. If the non-Jews which come to live with you in Eretz Yisrael, they prosper, and one of your brothers becomes very poor and he sells himself to a non-Jew. So this deals now with a parsha of a Jew selling himself to a non-Jew. And then also there we have where it states in Posuk Mem Hei, V'abdecho v'amoscho asher yialoch me'es agoyim asher svivosecha mehem tiknu eved v'oma, that you can acquire slaves from the nations which live in your vicinity. Mehem tiknu. This refers to a non-Jewish slave. So we see that we have in our parsha, and also in Parshas Behar, a good deal where the Torah speaks on slavery. And even though today, and for many, many
centuries already. It's not relevant to us. We don't practice slavery. It's not found amongst the nations. Nevertheless, let's study some of these halachos this evening, because there are still a good many relevant laws which we can apply to the treatment of workers or the treatment of people that we have to do with. We have the Eved Ivri, which is the Hebrew slave, or the Om Ivriya, which is the Hebrew maidservant. And then we have the Eved Ivri, the Hebrew servant who was sold to a non-Jew, first who was sold to a Jew, then who was sold to a non-Jew. And then we have the Eved Kanani, who was the Gentile servant. And these are based in the parshas that we read. Now, firstly, regarding the Eved Ivri and the Om Ivri. An Eved Ivri, a Hebrew slave, can become a slave in one of two ways. Either a Mochrei Sei Bezdin, where the Bezdin, where the court sell him against his will, or a Mecher Atzmei L'Ritzeinei, or a person who sells himself. The Mochrei Bezdin, the one who is sold by the courts, he can be sold only on one condition, and that's if he's a ganef, if he's a thief, he stole money, and he doesn't have money to pay back. Then the law is that the courts can sell him in order that the debt should be paid back. How do we know this? This is written a little further in our parsha, in Parshas Mishpotim Chav Beis. Per Chav Beis, it states, Im b'machteres yimotzei agana v'hukov v'meis ein leidomim Im zorcha Hashem v'sholav domim lei shalim yishalim im ein levenim kar b'gnei v'osrei. Excuse me, why don't you move up to the table? If a person steals, naturally he has to pay back. If he has no money, v'nim kar b'gnei v'osrei, the courts have a right to sell him, that he should be sold, in order that his debt should be paid back. This is the only time in the Torah that the courts have a right to sell a person. There is no other time that the Torah has ever allowed the courts to sell a person as an eved for the slavery outside of this case. The nimka b'gnei v'osrei, that he steals and he has no money to pay back, then he can be sold in order that the debt should be paid. But not for any other aveira, or not for any other debt. And ish nimkar b'gnei v'osrei v'lei isha, only a man can be sold and not a woman. And only to a Jew can he be sold. He's not allowed to be sold to a Gentile, to a non-Jew. And also, he can be sold only to pay back the actual cost of the actual value of the theft. This means many times when a person steals, so the Torah gave a penalty. For example, by theft, usually he has to pay kafel, he has to pay double. If he steals an animal, a shor or a sheh, a bull or a cow or a sheep, and he resells it or he checks it, So then there's Dalet Vehei, the Torah prescribes that sometimes he has to pay a penalty of 4 or 5 times the amount. If this person has enough money to pay the capital, to pay the basic cost of what he stole, but he doesn't have enough money to pay the penalty, then also he cannot be sold. He can only be sold if he cannot repay the actual capital. But if he has enough money for that, then we cannot sell him, and the rest he has to repay when he gets the money.
Also, it is brought that since it says v'nimkar b'gnevosai,
that he can only be sold if his value, he himself, is not worth more than the theft. But if he himself is worth more than the theft, this the amount that would that the sale would realize, then he cannot be sold. If he's worth less than the theft, then he's sold, and the balance he pays when he gets money. When he sells, when the courts, the Beis Din sells him, they can sell him for a maximum of 6 years. But on the 6 year, he goes free. If there's any balance of the theft still there, then he owes it. So that's what it says in our parsha. And actually, our parsha, at the beginning of Mishpotim, where it says, "Ki sik neved ivri sheshonim yavoid," that when you purchase a Hebrew slave, he shall work for 6 years, and on the 7th year he should go out free. This is referring to a nimkar al yedei Beis Din, someone who stole and he had no money to pay back, and the courts sell him. When he is sold, so then automatically he would go out after 6 years, or Yovel is the 50th year. If the 50th year happens to come during this period of time, even if it comes after 1 year of his work, or Pidyon, or if he someone redeems him, if someone gives back the buyer the amount that he paid for him, then he would go out. And then there's one additional law, and that is a nirsa. What would happen after the 6 years where he says, "I don't want to go out. I love my master. I like everything here. It's a very good life. Doesn't want to leave." Then, that's in our parsha, the Torah says that he has permission to stay, but you take him to the courts and you bore a hole in his ear, and he can stay, but not forever. He can stay till the Yovel, till the 50th year. Even though it states in the pasuk "Avodah la'olam," he shall work forever. The Gemara explains that's till the Yovel, till the 50th year, whenever it might come, and then he goes free. Why do we bore a hole in his ear? So this, because it's an avera. This person has committed two sins. One sin he committed because he stole. He stole money, which is an avera. Second sin he committed, a second avera, is because he forced himself to be sold as a slave, and even after he had the chance to go free, he still wants to be a slave. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though he gave the laws of slavery and permission for slavery, but he's against it, especially with Israel. And therefore we bore the hole in his ear. And the Torah says that you take him next to a mezuzah. Mezuzah is a doorpost. Next to a doorpost, and you bore the hole. Why? And that Rashi brings. He says, why do we do this? So Rashi writes as follows. He brings from the Gemara in the Mechilta, "Maro eizen la'tzeh mikol shari vorim shebeguf." Why the ear? "Omer v'yechem ben zakai, eizen zeh shishom al har Sinai." Because this ear that heard on Har Sinai, lay signif, that you shall not steal, v'holach v'gonav, and still he went to steal, so let his ear be bored. That's if the court sold him. What happens if he sold himself? So there's not such an avera. Actually, there's a dispute in the Gemara that if someone sold himself, if he can become a nirza, but according to that opinion, why would you bore a hole in his ear? He didn't steal. Because eizen shishom al Har Sinai, the ear that heard on Har Sinai, "Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim," that Israel are my slaves. I redeemed them from Parei that they should be my servants. And I do not want them to be avodim la'avodim, servants to others. And this one went, and he had his ear bored, and he sold himself as a slave, so let his ear be bored.
That's why the ear. Why the mezuzah? Why do we take him next to the doorpost? And that Reb Shimon HaYadeirish. Because the mezuzah, the doorpost, is Edim B'Mitzrayim. That testifies in Egypt. Kishepasachti al hamashkei falshtei mezuzis. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem Kal Yisrael from Egypt, he went and he killed all of the firstborn of Egypt. But those houses that had blood on the doorpost, which was a sign that these were the Jewish homes and they ate from the Korban Pesach, from the sacrifice that night, this was the 15th of Nisan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over these homes. So therefore, the doorpost is a testimony that I redeemed Israel and they're my slaves. And this, since this person has gone and sold himself as a slave, so let his ear be bored. So, a person, therefore, who is sold for a slave, and after 6 years he goes free, on the seventh year, but if he wants to remain, he can remain. And that's the parsha of Nirtza, but the Torah is definitely against that. So this is one category of the Hebrew slave, and that's the Mochrei Bezdin, where the courts sell him, and again for one, only for one offense, and that's a thief who does not have any money to pay back what he stole. We find that in some countries, many years ago when slavery was in force, it was common that they would sell people also for their debts. If a person didn't pay his debt, so then he would be sold as a slave. See, this Torah did not allow, only in this instance. Now, if the second category of the Hebrew slave is a mecher atzmei, that's a person who decides to sell himself. The Torah gave permission to an individual to sell himself as a slave to another Jew, but only if he waxed very, very poor, only if he became very destitute. And this is the parsha which we read in Parshas Bahar. See, in Parshas Bahar, it states, this is on Chofei Lamates, b'chiyomu chochicho imoch. When your brother becomes very, very poor. Now, what does this mean? So the Gemara explains it in the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodim. Zeh Yisrael she'aoni b'yeser, a Jew that has become very, very destitute. Nosen le'tere reshus limkor es atzmai. The Torah has granted him permission to sell himself, as it states, ki yomu chochichu imoch benim kaloch. Bein reshai limkor es atzmai latzni es domov. Now, a person cannot say that I'd like to raise some money because I want to save the money, or I want to go into business or something, so I'll go offer myself for sale for a period of years, and that way I'll make some money. Person is not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to sell himself in order to save money, or in order to buy a business, or in order to buy furniture or other utensils that he needs, or in order to pay off debts. Elim kein sorech le'ochlen bilvad. The only time the Torah gave a person permission to sell himself as a slave is when he is so destitute he has nothing to eat. The person has no permission to sell himself until he is left totally destitute without anything. He does not even have money for clothing. Then he is allowed to sell himself as a slave. So that's what is meant, b'chiyomuch ochicho imoch. When your brother becomes so destitute and he sells himself, then he is allowed to. A second law is when he does sell himself, he is only allowed to sell himself to a Jew. One Jew is not allowed to go and sell himself, even if he has nothing, to a non-Jew. However, if he does, then the sale is valid. And that's also what we read in Parshas Behar. The Yomuch, that when the non-Jews prosper in your land, and you have a brother that has fallen into poverty, and he goes ahead and sells himself to a non-Jew, then the sale is valid. He's not allowed to do it, but the sale is valid. In such a case, then there is a mitzvah saseh, there's a positive commandment for the other Jews to redeem him. This is written in Parshas Behar. They must come up with the money and buy him back. And we're not allowed to leave him, be a slave by other non-Jews. And the mitzvah first falls on the relatives. And Bez Din Kefin, I say. It's a mitzvah of kfiya where Bez Din calls in the relatives. The courts call in the relatives. And they say that you're obligated, according to the Torah, to go and redeem your relative from slavery to the non-Jew. And if they refuse to come up with the money, Bez Din will force him. They have the right to force him to do so. Because we're not allowed to leave one of our brothers to be slaves to non-Jews. If the relatives have no money, then it becomes a mitzvah called Yisrael. Then it's a mitzvah on every Jewish individual to redeem him. It's interesting that in Parshas Behar, the Torah states there, V'chishev im keinehu, when you do buy him back from the non-Jew, you have to pay the non-Jew his full value, which is coming to him. For example, if he paid a certain amount for a period, let's say, of 6 years, and he's only received so far 1 year work, then you have to calculate it so he gets his full value back. And you're not allowed, even if the authority and jurisdiction of that city is run by the Jews, managed by the Jews, you're not allowed in any way to deceive the non-Jew or to give him less than his full value. The Gemara says either because of Gezelakum, because we're not allowed to steal from the non-Jew, or because of Chilul Hashem, it will desecrate Hashem's name if we do not give him the full price which was paid for him. He also, when he sells himself when he sells himself to either the Jew or the non-Jew, he can sell himself for more than 6 years. The court sell him, they cannot sell him for more than 6 years. But when the individual sells himself, then he can sell himself for more than 6 years, for whatever he wants to. But once the Yovel comes, then he goes free. And I mentioned that if there's a Din Nirsa, if he's allowed to work longer than that, after he is supposed to go free, that's a question in the Mishnah. And the Rambam paskins that there is no Din Nirsa. Then we have the Oma Hivriyah. Included in the Jewish slave, we have the Jewish maidservant. And that we learn about here in our Parsha, which we read, which states, V'chiyimkor ishes bitay lo'oma, that if a person will sell his daughter, the Torah gave the right to a father. The courts, as mentioned, never sells a Jewish woman, and a Jewish woman or a Jewish girl is never allowed to sell herself. But the courts did give the Torah did give the right to the father, that the father is allowed to sell his daughter as a maidservant until she reaches the age of 12 years old, until she matures to adulthood. He can sell her for a maximum of 6 years, or until she reaches that age, then she goes out free.
or until the Yovel, if the 50th year comes into that period, or until she is redeemed by giving back the money which the buyer paid for her. Now here also, when did the Torah give permission to a father to sell? So this the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it in Perek Dalet Halacha Beis. Ein ha'avra shai limkor es bitay. A father has no authority to sell his daughter as a maidservant, elim kein ha'oni, unless he becomes totally destitute. V'leinisha leklum, and he remains with nothing. Lekarka, no land, lemetaltalin, no movable objects, v'afilu ksusha olav, even the clothing that's upon him. You know, Baruch Hashem, thank God, we don't know these poverties, but evidently they existed at times. So here's a situation, another situation, where the person is totally impoverished. He has nothing. He can't even afford clothing. We used to read about it. It's a mitzvah to be malbish harumim. It's a mitzvah to give clothing to the naked. It's a mitzvah to give food to the hungry. So this is a man that's totally destitute. Then the Torah gave permission where he could sell his daughter as a maidservant in order to help alleviate his situation. But even so, kefin as a'av liftaisa. But still, Bezdin is obligated to do everything in its power to see that the father redeems her, pays back the money immediately in order to get her back to freedom. Mishum pagam mishpocha. On what basis? On the basis it's a pagam mishpocha. It's not a good reputation for the family. It's not a good reputation for the family. It's not a good reputation for the daughter. So, when does he have this authority? Only if he's totally destitute. But he doesn't even have any clothing or food to eat. But even so, the Bezdins are obligated to do everything in their power to see that he redeems her immediately. Now, by the maidservant, the Omni Ivriya, we find an additional halacha law, which we do not find by the other slaves, and that's the mitzvah of Yud. And that's what we learn in our parshas Mishpatim. And that is as follows. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that this master who she was sold to should marry her. He should take her as a wife. And this is called Yud. If he doesn't want to take her as a wife, then there's a mitzvah that his son shall take her as a wife. This of course is only if she is agreeable to this. And once either of them marry her, then she is a married woman with the same status of any other daughter of Israel. Umitzvah yield kedemes lemitzvah bidiyah. And the mitzvah to marry her is a greater mitzvah than the mitzvah to redeem her. In other words, if the master would feel, he would feel sorry for her and he would want to let her go, or someone else wants to come and free her, it's a greater mitzvah that he shall marry. What is the reason of this? The Chinuch brings in this mitzvah, that's mitzvah Mem Gimel. The Chinuch says as follows. Mishroshi mitzvah zu, shericha makel al harnio animkeres ve'al avio shenistarek lemochra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had compassion on this daughter that was sold, this poor daughter that was sold, she's very, very poor, and on the father who was forced to sell her. V'tziva es hakeina iso lisa iso le isho, v'la aseise giveres.
And therefore the Torah commanded that the buyer shall marry her. If he marries her, he makes her into a mistress. She becomes the wife of the master. Kilchelchanun verachumhu. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to help this poor girl. And the best way he could help this poor girl is if she would become a mistress herself. And if he doesn't want her herself, he should marry her then to his son. Because then, even if she becomes the wife of the master's son, that's also a great status. And therefore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had rachmanis, compassion, he gave a mitzvah of yi'ud to marry her. And this is why the Torah tells us in this parasha, where it states, if he does fulfill this mitzvah and he marries her or his son marries her, and now they take another wife also, so what would be the common reaction? That the other wife will be a first class wife and this one is a second class wife. So the Torah commands, he's not allowed to withhold from this woman any obligations that he would have towards any woman, any wife. In other words, if he marries her, then she has to become a first class wife like any other woman. So this is the parsha, this is the din of Oma Ivriya. Now the Gemara tells us, the Torah and the Gemara tells us many important details on how we must deal with these avodim, with the Eved Ivri, the Eved Ivri or the Omer Ivri. For example, firstly, how should they be sold? Now, quote from the Rambam. Rambam writes, this is in Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. When a Jewish person is sold as a slave, he is not allowed to be sold publicly. He is not allowed to be sold publicly al even hamekach, the way slaves were usually sold. They were usually put on a big stone, they stood on the stone, and they were auctioned off. He says, you're not allowed to do that. V'lei b'simto, k'derek sh'avodim nimkorim. Not publicly or not even semi-publicly. In one of these parashas that we quoted, it states that you shall not sell him in the way you usually sell slaves. He must be sold secretly, privately, and in an honorable fashion. This is in regards to how to sell him. What kind of work are we allowed to do with it? Kol Eved Ivri, this is an Aloha Vov, Kol Eved Ivri, every Jewish slave, also Laved Bei Beforech. You're not allowed to do with him Avedis Perech. Avedis Perech is a very, very difficult work. States that we in Egypt had to do Avedis Perech. When you buy a Jewish slave, you're not allowed to work with him Avedis Perech. The Ezehi Avedis Perech. What is this type of work? So Aveda Shein Leikitzfu. This is, for example, a type of work that has no end to it. It has no measure to it. Or, in other words, you just tell him to work endlessly and he has no goal and he has no goal to reach for and he never knows when he's finished. Or Aveda Shein Etzorechlo. Or a work that the master doesn't need, but you merely give him work in order that you want him to work. I want him to do work. I don't want him to sit around and become lazy. And I have no work that I need today. So I make up some fictitious need and I tell him to go work. This is an Avedis Perech. This you're not allowed to do.
מכאן אומרו חכמים, from here the חכמים said שלא ימלא ידו תחת הגפנים עד שעולה. You're not allowed to tell him go and prune these trees or go and dig in the vineyard until I return. Not allowed to tell him that. She'ein le'kitzvah, because this is not of a particular, of a specific measure, and he doesn't know then how much he should work, because he does, who knows when you'll come back. You must tell him work until this hour or dig until this place. Or don't tell him dig this hole and you don't need it. Dig the hole and when you finish, fill it up again. That's an Avedis Perech. You're not even allowed to tell him, bring me some. You see, you have an Eved there and he has nothing to do and you don't want him sitting around idle. So you tell him, bring me tea. But meanwhile, you're not going to drink the tea. Or bring me a cold drink. And meanwhile, you're not going to drink it. If you do that, you transgress a negative commandment. As it states, you're not allowed to work Avedis Perech with them. So therefore you're allowed to give him only work which is necessary and which has a definite measure. Now this is in regards to a slave, a Jewish slave which was sold to another Jew. What about a Jewish slave which was sold to a non-Jew, like we learned? He is also not allowed to work with a Jew accordingly. This means that if we are in charge of the, it's in our a city where we have the authority, and akum shenimkala imrode beveferach hare yisol metzuvin lamone v'imenichu evrim b'leisase shedema leyodeno beferach leirecho. If a non-Jew works with a Jew with a avedis perech, with this type of work, then we are not allowed to allow this, and if we do, we transgress a negative commandment. So that's in regards to the work. What's in regards to the attitude towards the slave? What type of attitude am I allowed to have towards him? The Rambam brings in Halacha Zayin. Kol Eved Ivri Osa LiYisrael Shekonu LaAvidu B'dvorim Bezim Shehem Yuchodim LaAsa Yisavodim. You are not allowed to give a Jewish slave work which is the type of work that only a slave would do. For example, sheyelech achrav kelev lebeis hamerchatz. It was customary in those days that when a person would go to the bathhouse, so his slave would carry his clothing or the necessities that he had to have. You're not allowed to have a Jewish slave do this. Or Yachle Slim in Olive. It was customary that people had their slaves take off their shoes, put on their shoes. You're not allowed to give this to everybody, a Jewish slave. Why? Because this is a bizayin. This is a shame. Because this is Avedis Eved. This is the type of work that only a slave did. And we are not allowed to give a fellow Jew, even if he's our slave, an Avedis Eved, a type of work that only a slave would do. Because this is a bizayin, this is a busha, this is a shame for him. But it states, Einaneig be'ele kiskir, shenema kiskir kiteshiv yi'imach. You can give him work like you would give an employee, but not work that a slave does. You're allowed to have him cut your hair or to wash your clothing or to bake for you, but you're not allowed to make public use of him. In other words, you wouldn't be allowed to use him to cut other people's hair or to use him to bake publicly and so forth, or as a public washer boy. Then it says, unless that was his profession beforehand. But otherwise, this is Avedis Ovid then.
and you are not allowed to be. You are not allowed to do this. Bamed vorim amurim. This is be'evid ivri. Mipnei shenafshe yishfala b'mechira. But this is by a Jewish slave, an employee. You could do this if the employee.
If you hire a person for a specific purpose,
and he's agreeable to it, that would be allowed.
But to take, because he hires himself for that specific purpose, but to take a slave and give him work which is exclusively an avedus evid, the type of work that a slave does, this would not allowed to give a Jewish slave, because a Jewish slave is very downtrodden, and this would be a bizoin, this would be a shame for him.
So this is in regards to the attitude that we have towards a slave. How must I treat him when it comes to giving him to eat or comfort or so forth or so on? The Gemara says like this. This is a Gemara Masechta Gedushin Daf Chof. And the Rambam brings it here in Aloha Ches. Excuse me, Aloha Tes. It states, "Kol evet ivri or ome ivriyo, any Jewish slave or maidservant, chayev odem lashveis and leib Michael of Mishke, b'ksusa b'modor." You have to give them the equal status what you have yourself when it comes to eating, drinking, clothing, or living, as it states, "Shenema ki teiv loy imoch." In one of these parshas we quoted, actually, it's in Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, it states, "Ki teiv loy imoch," that it shall be good to him like you. This means that you have to allow him to live the same type of life that you live. You are not allowed to eat a good bread and give him a coarse bread. You are not allowed to drink a old matured wine and give him a new immature wine. You're not allowed to sleep on feathers and give him a mattress of straw to sleep on. You're not allowed to live in the city and put him out into the country, or vice versa. You have to give him the same standard of living that you live yourself. From here we learn that when you buy a Jewish slave, you're ending up to be buying a master also. Tesvus in Kiddushin and Daf Chof asks, why is it considered that you're buying a master? A master means someone who's over you. But it should say that whoever buys an Eved Ivri is buying someone that is not going to be a slave, but someone that you're going to have to give equal standard. But why an Odin? So Taisha says, and he brings from the Yishalmi, he says, no. The Yishalmi says, what happens if you have only one bed to sleep on? Or you have only one chair to sit on? What must you do?
If you sleep on it,
the Pasuk says, Ki teiv lei imoch, that he must live the same type of standard that you live. So therefore you can't sleep on the bed. To leave it where no one will sleep, this you're not allowed, because this, the Gemara says, is midas dayim. If there's something available, you can't keep anybody else from using it. See, this is midas dayim, this is considered a rosho. If it's used, it's needed, all right, you don't have to give it to someone else. But if nobody's using it and someone needs it, you're not allowed to let it be idle. So you'll have to give it to him to sleep on. So if you have one bed, he gets the bed.
If you got one share, he gets the chair. So therefore, the Gemara of the Yishalmi says, "Akein mikan is akeina eved le'atzmai ki ilukeina odin le'atzmai." That if you buy a slave for yourself, you should know that the Torah was so strict with this, it's as if you're buying a master. Now, the Torah has gone further, and the Torah has incorporated additional obligations that we have towards the Jewish slave. For example, in our parsha it states that if he comes in alone, then he goes out alone. But if he comes in married, then his wife and children go out with him. The Gemara says, what does it mean his wife and children go out? They were never bought. He was purchased, but no one else was purchased. So from here the Gemara tells us that when you buy a slave, you are obligated to support his wife and children also. Kol evet ivri harei odin chai b'mezenis ishtei anesulei. Every Jewish slave, not only does the master have to support the servant, but he has to support also his wife. And in addition to that, he has to support his sons, and he has to support his daughters. Because it states that if he comes in with a wife, then he goes out with the wife and children. That means that till he leaves, once he leaves, then you're not obligated in the support. If when he was sold as a slave, he was single then, and now he wants to get married and he wants to have children, then he has to talk it over with the master, with the Odom, because that was something that the Odom didn't get involved in. So he has to talk it over with him and get, and they have to come to agreement on that. But if when he got, when he was sold, so he was married with children, then the master becomes responsible for the support of the wife and the children also, even though they are not working for him. This means as follows. You take someone who was sold for theft, so that amount of money would go to pay back the theft. But meanwhile, the master, during the time he was working, would be obligated to support not only the slave, but his wife and his family. Someone who sold himself because of poverty, and he received a lump sum for the sale, during the time he's working, that sum he can save, he can invest, because the master is obligated to support the servant. But not only that, he has no expenses for his wife or children, because the Torah demanded that the master not only supports him, but supports his wife and children also. And then we have another mitzvah that the Torah gives us, which are additional obligations towards this servant. And that is what in Parshas Re'eh, which is Devarim Tesvav Yud Beis. Here the Torah tells us that ki yimocher lecho ochicho ivro oy ivrio, that if a person sells himself as a slave or a maidservant, and they work 6 years, and on the seventh year they go free, v'chise shalchenu chofshi mi'imoch leisis shalchenu reikom, that when they go free, you are not allowed to send them away empty-handed. Hanek tanikle mitzeincho umigoncho umiikvecho. But this is what is known as the mitzvah hanoko. You must give them a great deal of wealth when they leave you, besides what you had to pay him. You must give him from your sheep. You must give him from your grapes. You must give him from your you must give him from your crops. In accordance to what your house was blessed with him, this is how you must give him. Where do we learn this from?
Because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. When we were servants in Egypt, Yiftecha Hashem Elokecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. How did he take us out? Berechush Godel. He made the Egyptians give us great, great wealth when we left, that we shall not leave empty handed. So shall you do with your servant. Therefore I command you to do this. And you shouldn't feel bad that you have to send them away and now you're losing a servant, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses your house because of him, and therefore you must give him from all your blessing. The Rambam brings that this is a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah leishasay. This is a positive and negative commandment. And anyone who sends his servant away empty-handed transgresses a positive and negative commandments. Now these are some of the obligations that the Torah has protected the Jewish servant with. Let's just speak a minute or two in regards now to the non-Jewish servant. We mentioned that we have the parsha that's also brought here of the Eved Kenani. This is the non-Jewish servant. Now firstly, when a person is a non-Jew is made into a slave, the Torah said that we take him and we give him bris milah and we give him tefillah b'mikveh, circumcise him and we immerse him in the mikveh. Then not only does he become what is known as the Eved Kenani, the slave, but he also becomes miksas Yisrael. He becomes a partial Yisrael, where he has partial kedushas Yisrael, partial sanctity of Yisrael, and he becomes obligated in many mitzvahs of the Torah. He becomes obligated in kol mitzvahs leishasis, all of the negative commandments, generally speaking, and all of the mitzvahs asays, sheinas man grom, and all of the positive commandments that are not governed by time. The Torah has severely protected him, very strenuously. For example, like we read in this week's parsha, what happens if the master strikes him? Shein v'ayin, he strikes his servant, and he knocks out a tooth, or he knocks out an eye. The Torah penalized him, and he goes free. He loses his servant. Certainly, if he kills him, it's brought in this week's in Mishpotim, that if he will strike him and kill him, then he can be guilty of the death penalty. Now, this halacha of striking, of wounding the Eved, that is not only by the shein v'ayin, by a tooth and an eye, but that's by any of the limbs or organs which do not grow back. The Rambam brings in Perikei Alocha Dalet. The Rambam says, Amakes Avdoi, this is referring to the non-Jewish slave, Amakes Avdoi Bikavono, a person who strikes his slave with intent, and he causes the loss of one of the 24 vital limbs or organs which do not grow back, so then immediately that slave goes free. So this is a protection that the Torah gave him. Now the Rambam brings in Perek Tes Halacha Ches, this is at the end of Hilchos Avodim, the many laws that we read and studied in the beginning of this year, which refer to an Eved Ivri, a Jewish servant, does not refer to a non-Jewish servant. The Torah gave protection to the non-Jewish servant, but not to the degree of the Jewish servant. But the Rambam writes at the end of Avodim, he writes as follows, Afal pisha din kach, even though we're allowed to do with the non-Jewish servant much more than we can do with the Jewish servant, Midish chasidus, the darkei chokhma, nevertheless, now this is all in regards to the non-Jewish servant, it is still, it's the way of the righteous and the ways of the wise of Israel. She odom rachmon, that a person must be compassionate. V'reidev tzedek, and he must always pursue what is upright. V'leyachbid oylei al avdei. He should not give his servant too heavy of a load. V'leyetzalei. He shall not make things too difficult for him. V'yachilehu v'yashkehu mikol maichol u'mikol mishte. He should give his servant to drink from whatever he drinks from, and to eat from whatever he eats from. Chachomim harishenim hayu neisnin le'evet mikol tafshul v'tafshul shehayu echlin. The early sages used to give their servants, again, we're speaking here about the non-Jewish servant, because the Jewish servant has to be tevla chimoch, they're the dinas that he has to, the lawyers that he has to live like you. The early sages used to give their slaves from every food that they ate from. Umagdimin mozein habehemes va'avodim lesudas atzmon. Not only did they give from every food that they ate from, but first they fed their slaves, and then they fed themselves. Agav, incidentally, here the Rambam brings the same was with animals. First they fed their animals, and then they fed themselves. And this the Torah says, because it states, the Kesev of Mishnah brings, this is a Gemara in Anizokin, Daf Samach Beis, where it states, V'nasati eisev b'sotcho l'vimtecho v'yachalte v'sevoto. I will give pasture for your animals to eat, and you should eat and be satisfied. So we see first your animals. The simple reason is because they cannot take care of themselves. You can, so therefore first you must care for them. A slave also, he can take better care of himself than an animal, but also he's dependent on you. So the Seder HaDvarim, the order of the way the early sages would do is that first they would feed their animals. Then they would see that their slaves had to eat, and then they would come and take care of themselves and their families. Harehu aimer ke eni avodim el yad adonehem ke eni shivchel yad gvirto. It states that the eyes of the servants look up to their masters, and the eyes of the maidservant looks up to her mistress, and therefore we are obligated to take care of them. What is the source of this? The source of this is a Gemara in Ksubas. In Perek Aleph Al Pi. And also Yishalmi. The Gemara in Ksubas in Perek Aleph Al Pi, Daf Samach Aleph. The Kesev Mishnah brings it actually some discuss whether this is speaking about an Eved Ivri or an Eved Ivri or an Eved Kanani, but the Kesev Mishnah brings it here. The Gemara says, Abur Bar-Ihi Umin Yomin Bar-Ihi. There was a man by the name of Ihi, and he had two sons. One was Abur and one was Minyomin. Chad Sofi Mikol Mino Amino, one would give to his servant everything that he ate. He would give a little to his servant from every serving, from every course. Bechad Sofi Mechad Mino, and the other one would only give from one course. And the Gemara is speaking here that if you're eating at the table and you have someone at the table who smells the food and doesn't eat, so it's a very, very great sad, it's a great discomfort to him. So they would eat and there would be servants in the house. So one would give from one course to the servants, and the other would give from every course to the servant. Here, listen to this. Mar mishtoy Eliyahu Bahadeh, umar le mishtoy Eliyahu Bahadeh. Eliyahu, now he was talking of Hasidus. This is Hasidus. Hasidus are the great righteous ones. Eliyahu would be the one who would come. This is known as Ruach HaKodesh. That a person would have
enormous spiritual insights, enormous spiritual thoughts, to the level of almost prophecy. This is what is known as a Giloi Eliyahu. Eliyahu would come and reveal things to him. So one of these brothers Eliyahu would speak to, the other one not. The one that gave from every serving to the slave, Eliyahu would come and speak to. The other one, Eliyahu didn't want to talk to. Hanutatin Hasidin, another story. There were two Hasidim, two righteous people. The Amri Lord of Mori Verapinchas, some say it was the Mori and Verapinchas, B'nai Rav Chisda, the children of Chisda. Mar Kodim Sofe, who Mar Ma'achr Sofe. Their Hanhoga, their conduct in this was, one would Kodim Sofe, at the beginning, right at the beginning of the meal, before the guests and the family were served, he would give to the slaves. The other one would wait until the family and the guests were served, and then he would give to his servants. The Kodim Sofi Aleihu Mishtoi Bade, the one that would give in the beginning of the meal to the servants, Eliyahu came to talk to. The Ma'acher Sofi Le Mishtoi Aleihu Bade, the one who gave at the end, Eliyahu wouldn't come and talk to. What's the difference? So Rashi explains, the fiction nation leaf nehem vehureo misave mitztayer upon mshayshokin harbe, because as they were serving the tables, many times there were a lot of guests, so they were worried all the time that maybe there won't be food left over for us, and sometimes there wasn't enough left over for them, so they would only get a little, or they wouldn't get from every portion. So that's why one of them would give first to the slaves. The other one, though, felt, look, the family and the guests are more important. So first he would instruct that the family and the guests must be served, and then what's left over would go to the servants. So the one that was caught them, the one that would feed them first, Sofi Eliyahu Mishtoi Bade, Eliyahu would come and speak to that person. The Me'acher, the one that fed them last, Le'mishto Eliyahu Bade, he wouldn't come and speak. See? Evidently, Eliyahu had a different idea of what Hasidus is than the world has today. See? To this, Eliyahu, this was righteousness. The Shalmi brings Rabbi Yechanan Ochal Kuper. The Yoiv La'avde. Rabbi Yechanan, when he would eat meat, he would cut some off and give it to his eved. Shofi Chamro, he would drink wine, he would spill some out and give it to his eved. Kori Aleha Hale Bebeten Eisani Asahu. So they read on Rabbi Yechanan the Posuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I created you and I created him. In other words, he would care for him like a brother. Then the Rambam continues. So this is the source of the Rambam. He says that Chachomim Arishenim Hayanestin Levin Mikol Tafshivul Tafshul Shiyoichli. The early sages would give to their servants from everything that they would eat. Umagdimin Mozein Abahemis Ba'avodim L'Suras Atzman. And not only that, but they would give first to the animals and then to the servants before they took for themselves and their families. V'chein Lo Yivazeu Biyad. Also, you shall not shame them. Certainly not by striking them. The lebedvori, and not even with words. La avdus mosru nakosu velelebusha. The Torah has given us permission to utilize servants for work, but not to shame them. Velayarbol of tzoko ukas. You should not yell at them. You should not show anger to them. Elidaber imei benachas. You should always speak quietly and kindly to them. V'yishma ta'inaisov. You shall listen to their complaints. If they have complaints, something is not fair, or they have complaints amongst each other, you must listen to them. V'chein mufurish bedarkei iyuv. And so is it explicit in iyuv. Hatevim shishtabech bahen. Iyuv praised himself with some
Iyuv did great things in his life, and he praised himself on those great things. This was one of them. Imemos mishpat avdi v'amosi berivam. He said, I never disregarded the uprightness, the righteousness, that I should judge my servant and maidservant berivam in their quarrels. Imodi that they had with me. Halei bebeten esani asahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made me from the womb, and he has made them from the womb. Berechem echot, from one womb. So Iyu praised himself that I never despised, if they had complaints, I listened to their complaints, and I judged it properly. Now the Rambam says that people don't treat servants this way. That's not the way people treat servants. Okay. And historically, it's true. See. They treat servants like garbage. So the Rambam says, that's not the Jewish way. Ein ha'achzorius v'ha'azus mitzuya ele ba'akum evde avedizor. This that you see, that people are cruel to slaves. People have chutzpah and arrogance towards the slaves. Arrogance, he says, that you find by the heathens, idolaters. Avozare shel Avram avinu, but the seed of Abraham our father, Behem Yisrael sheishpia lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu tevas haTorah, and this is the seed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the Torah to. V'tziva eisam b'chukim u'mishpatim tzaddikim u'v'chukim v'tziva eisam b'chukim u'mishpatim tzaddikim, and commanded us in laws and mitzvahs which are righteous. Rachmonim heim alakol, they are rachmonim on everyone. Jews have to have rachmonis, compassion for everyone. And he says, why? He says two reasons. Firstly, because we come from Abraham, and Abraham had compassion for everyone. It's three reasons. Secondly, we were given the Torah, and the Torah has compassion. Thirdly, he said, this is the midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the quality of Hashem. We are commanded to lahadmes. We are commanded to emulate ourselves to Hashem. What does it say by Hashem? It says Verachmav al kol masov. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion for all of his works. It doesn't say he has rachamim, he has compassion just for some. It says Verachmav al kol masov. Kodesh Baruch Hu shows compassion for all of his creatures. We are obligated lahadmais to make ourselves similar to Hashem. Therefore the Rambam says we are obligated to show compassion for all creatures. V'chol marachim marachmin olov. And whoever shows compassion to others, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will be marachim on him, as it states, v'nosem v'chol rachamim v'richamcho v'hirbecho. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you who gives compassion to others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return this compassion to you. Now, as we mentioned, slavery has not been found amongst the nations for many, many centuries. But you see, there is still a great deal that can be learned from these parashas in the Torah. Certainly in regards to what is known in the Torah as a pale. A pale is a worker, an employee. Any worker that you don't own, a worker that you own, that's called an eved. A worker that you don't own but you merely employ, that's called a pale. And there are many, many laws, Mishnahs, Gemaras, Rambams, that deals with a pale. And certainly we can glean much from here in regards to the pale. I would just like to conclude, though, with one final halacha. And that is, and this is something which is very relevant today, and this is in regards to the pale, the Rambam brings in at the end of Hilchos Chirus, after he goes through all of the laws where the Torah commanded us, restricted us, And how we must deal with the employee. I mean, if this is how we must deal with a servant, you can imagine how we must deal with an employee. So after all of that, so the Rambam concludes, this is at the end of Hilchos Chirus, he says, but you should know that just like the employer has responsibility towards the employee also has very heavy responsibilities towards the employer. He says, "Kederech shemuzer balabai shele yigzal schar oni b'leyakvenu." Just like the balabais is commanded that he must be very careful that he should not steal any of the wages of his poor employee, or leyakvenu, or to withhold it. These were the halachas which he was talking about till now. He says, "Kacho oni muzer shele yigzal meleches balabais." So is the employee. Regardless if he's wealthy or poor, he also has an entire Torah in Shulchan Aruch how he has to be careful not to steal from the work of his employer. Unfortunately, not everybody is aware of this. Just like the employer has to give fair wages to the employee, with the same restrictions and the same importance, the employee has to give fair labor to the employer and not take off a little time here and take off a little time here. Many times you find that people are working, they make a telephone call to a friend, someone comes in, they'll talk to them and so forth and so on. You should know that many of these things are shailas lahalocha. These are important questions in halacha, if one is allowed to do it. Because he's been paid for a job. He has to do the job. Vivatl miat mikan, a little time off here, a little time off here. Umeitzi kola yom b'mirma. And then by the end of the day, what has he given his employer? Elchayv ledaktek al atzmon bisman. He has to be medaktek al atzmon. He has to be careful with his time. The fact is, there's a law, we don't have time to go into it now, but there's a law that an employee who is hired by the day is not allowed to work at night. And an employee who's hired for a job, and let's say he just has a little food, he's not allowed to give it to his children and starve himself. Why? Because he won't be able to give fair labor to his employer. Yeah, if he's up all night, so what kind of job is going to do during the day? Here I'm paying someone for labor, and what kind of labor is he giving me? If he shows up half starved, how can he do a job? So the Rambam brings, he says he has to be medaktek al atzmai. It's not, some people look at this as a joking matter. The Torah didn't. The Torah looked at this as gezel. This is theft. He has to be medaktek al atzmai bizman. He has to watch carefully the time. Sha'arehi pidu ha'brocha rabi shal b'yachas ha'mozen shal ha'yevorach. So the Gemara brings that unless the balabais is willing to forego it, an employee is not even allowed to say the full benching during the day. If he gives him time off for lunch, all right. But if he's eating during work, it says even the fourth brocha, the first three brochas, he says, because that's minator and benching. But the fourth brocha, it says that he doesn't say unless his employer gives him is willing to forego it, because otherwise he's stealing time, he's stealing labor from his employer that his employer is paying him for. V'chein chayev laveid b'chol keichei. Not only does he have to give him full time, you know, many people, they do a job, they say, look, how much is he paying me anyhow? See? So they do a mediocre job. You should know that's not Midas Yisrael, the Rambam says. Yishchayev lavei b'chol keichei. If you accept a job, you don't like the wages, don't take the job. But you accept the job and you accept the wages, you have to put your entire heart into the work. Where do we learn this from? He says, we learn this also from one of our fathers, from Yaakov Avinu. Shehare Yaakov Atzadik. Yaakov was hired by Lavan. There couldn't have been a bigger crook than Lavan. Lavan was known as the crook. He says in the Torah, Yaakov says, you deceived me 10 times. And the Gemara Darshan's 100 times. 100 times he deceived them. So Laban was the crook. So Yaakov should have worked, should have given him. What kind of work should he give him? What did Yaakov say? Yaakov said, Bechol keichi avadati es avichan. With all of my strength did I work for your father. That's what he told Rachel and Leah. This was the meat of Yaakov. So from here we learn that this is how a Jew has to work. When a Jew is working, just like a Jew must treat his worker properly, a Jew also must treat his employer properly. And when he's hired for a job, he accepts the job, he must do it in fullness, ubechol keichi, and with the best possible strength and talents that he has. Otherwise, he's not living to the standards of honesty and integrity that the Torah demanded from a Jew. And he says, therefore, Yaakov, what was the reward? We found that Yaakov became wealthy, not only in the next world, but in this world. When Yaakov left the house of Laban, he left him as a multimillionaire. He had sheep, and he had cattle, and he had servants, he had everything. The Rambam says, where did this come from? This is where it came from. He says, if you do your job, be'amunah, b'chol keiche, with all of your strength, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay you back in this world also. So these are some of the laws, or some of the principles that we can learn from these parshas of servants in Parshas Mishpatim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.